The DUP's goal is to craft a new and better future for Northern Ireland. But we will not allow history to be rewritten. I seek true and genuine reconciliation, but it will not be happening on the basis of spinning a false or sanitized version of the past. And though we all arrived at this point by very different routes, I believe that we all have a part to play in building better relationships. I'm increasingly impatient to publish our good relations strategy, which is all but ready to go to party leaders. It doesn't contain everything that either I or any other leader would want, but it is a hugely positive step. I must say, I take a dim view of any political party that seeks to use a sensitive issue like this to cause division in order to garner votes. Consensus government means we have to move forward with the highest level of agreement possible. Nobody gets everything that they want. But even so, let us be clear about one thing. Ultimately, reconciliation will not be brought about by the words of any document, but by changing people's attitudes. And in this current year, I have sought to reach out to those with whom we would not traditionally have been associated. It's a slow process, but politics here is changing, and the small steps taken today soon become the new norm. Mr. Chairman, the electorate is turning its focus increasingly on the search for solutions to their everyday problems. And the DUP is the party that can provide the answers. And it will do so by seeking support right across the community. Now, I'm realistic enough to know it'll be a slow process, but our direction of travel must be clear. The critics who doubt that we can achieve this goal are the same critics who once scoffed at the thought of the DUP becoming the Northern Ireland's largest party. And the reality today is that the left and far left policies of both the nationalist parties leave many Catholics effectively disenfranchised. As the leader of a party that seeks to represent the whole community, I'm not prepared to write off over 40% of the population as being out of reach. And I know that building this new constituency will require as much of an adjustment from us as it will require a leap of faith from those whose votes we seek. And the exact same disconnect also applies to our rapidly emerging new communities from Eastern Europe and farther afield. These are people who have come to Northern Ireland in search of a better life and greater opportunity. Our policies, the DUP's policies, are perfectly tailored to their hard-working culture of aspiration for themselves and aspiration for their families. The DUP's aggressive economic policies offer them the right sort of deal, one that boosts inward investment, creates jobs, and is geared to generating prosperity. We shouldn't be afraid to strive for any and all of these votes. Conference, despite the economic difficulties, the past 12 months have offered a tantalising glimpse of a better future for Northern Ireland. And despite what you might see or hear in the media, it isn't all arguing and bickering. No one knows better than I do just how frustrating operating a multi-party coalition government can be. But that's the price that we pay for an executive that commands such widespread support. As First Minister, it frustrates me to hear some commentators and politicians take every chance they get to talk Northern Ireland down. To listen to them, you would think that nothing good had happened in the last 5 years, or that devolution hadn't made a difference to ordinary people's lives. And because that dad of defeatism is all that people hear about the executive and politics, it's hardly surprising that for many, they are cynical about Stormont. So let me take a few minutes to highlight just some of the achievements that have made a real difference. Because the executive deferred water charges and froze the regional rate, we have the lowest household taxes in the entire United Kingdom. And for people over 70 living alone, we have provided a 20% discount on the regional rate bill. As a result of policies set by the executive, Northern Ireland has the most attractive business rates in the United Kingdom. We retained industrial derating and are now extending the small business rates relief scheme to make it the most extensive anywhere in the kingdom. We also have a more generous free travel policy than anywhere in Great Britain. And don't forget, we delivered a £225 million rescue package for Presbyterian Mutual Society savers. As a party, we negotiated a £20 million gratuity package for part-time reserve police officers, and we ensured an end to the discriminatory 50-50 police recruiting policy. This executive has ensured that higher education is open to all by freezing student fees in real terms for Northern Ireland universities. And we have ensured the survival of grammar schools by retaining the option of academic selection. My top priority for this Assembly term is more jobs. Now, we can't buck worldwide trends, but we can make a difference. And executive ministers have mounted the most ambitious campaigns ever to attract investment from abroad. Our goal is to create an economy which will allow our young people to make their lives here and to attract many back who have previously left for foreign shores. We would be enormously assisted in that task if we had corporation tax setting powers. And I'm glad to report we made further progress on this on Tuesday with the Prime Minister. I believe it would help to rebalance our economy and reduce our economic reliance on the Treasury. Just remember that before the Troubles began, over 90% of all expenditure by the Northern Ireland Government was met by money raised here. And that should be our goal again. No longer reliant on the central exchequer, but an engine of economic prosperity and for our own right. And while our existing economic levers are limited, we have still been able to make a difference. Earlier this year, the Assembly agreed our 10-year economic strategy. And earlier this month, the Executive agreed a short-term economic stimulus plan. We have listened to business and we have sought to respond. We are moving forward on an agreed basis and pursuing the 83 commitments set out in our programme for government. These targets represent a real and viable business plan to move Northern Ireland forward, grow our economy and achieve the social changes that are necessary to ensure that our community, a single unified community, moves from strength to strength. The targets we have set are spread across all of our departments, and although they are ambitious and will stretch our ministers, we are determined to maximise delivery and be judged on the level of delivery we can achieve. In spite of the downturn, we're on course to meet our PFG commitment against the key economic target of supporting the promotion of over 25,000 new jobs. Despite the economic challenges, the executive is starting to change the face of the Northern Ireland economy. We have gone across the globe bringing back foreign direct investment and opening new markets to our local businesses. None of this would have been possible without the peace and prosperity that has been achieved. Today, Belfast is gaining an impressive reputation as an IT hub and key financial trading centre, hosting not just the New York Stock Exchange, but the Chicago Mercantile Exchange as well. Belfast is now among the world's top 10 cities for financial technology investments, ahead of Dublin, Glasgow, Toronto, and even Bangalore. Outside of London, Belfast is now the UK's most attractive city for foreign direct investment. And not only did we attract HBO to come here to film their most successful television series ever, but we invested in the future by contributing to the building of a second film studio. And such is our confidence in this sector that we are currently in negotiations to build a third studio as well. This year, Titanic Belfast opened its doors, 100 years after the ship's first and final journey. It's a visitor attraction that will rival anything anywhere in the world and makes Belfast a must-see tourist destination. In less than 6 months, it's already exceeded its annual target. The project was made possible because the executive invested £37.5 million in it. This year, we also opened the Giant's Causeway Visitor Centre, where the executive invested over £9 million, and both facilities are heading towards 1 million visitors this year, and both have over 60% of their visitors coming from outside of Northern Ireland. For the first time in many years, because of executive investment, Northern Ireland hosted the Irish Open Golf Tournament and brought record European attendances across the 4 days of the championship. In the years to come, I hope we will see other major golf tournaments come here, and I can guarantee you that we are working very hard to accomplish that goal. Northern Ireland also played its part in this year's truly national events, the Royal Jubilee, the Olympics and Paralympics. They both and all showed that the United Kingdom is at its very best. For many of us, The absolute high point of the year was Her Majesty's visit to Northern Ireland as part of her Diamond Jubilee celebrations. It was another tangible sign of how things have changed. For the first time in decades, we were able to invite tens of thousands of people to Belfast and Enniskillen for a celebration befitting this most royal occasion. The Queen has been an ever steady hand at the helm of British life over six decades. In the best and worst of times, she has been an inspiring example of steadfastness, tradition, and wise counsel. On this Jubilee year, let this conference send a message on behalf of the people upon whose loyalty and support she can always depend. Long may you reign over us. It didn't take the Diamond Jubilee or the Olympics to make us proud of our nation, but there's no doubt that for many it was a reminder of what we have to offer. Ours is a nation that is made up not just of those from England, Scotland, Wales, or Northern Ireland, or those for whom English is the language of their birth, but of those who have come to live here and who share our values and ideals. I'm proud that Britishness is about diversity and inclusivity. That's why the story of Mo Farah was an inspiration to us all. Born in Somalia, he moved to the UK when he was just 8 years old. He ran for Britain and became a national hero overnight, winning 2 gold medals in the London Olympics. When asked by a journalist whether he would rather have run for Somalia, he replied, "Look, mate, this is my country." His story epitomizes the spirit of this nation. And just as Mo Farah has done it, so too can any of the new settlers who have come to these shores to build their lives. Next year will be another great year, when Londonderry will be the United Kingdom's city of culture and Belfast will welcome the World Police and Fire Games. And next June, when Northern Ireland hosts the G8 Summit on behalf of the United Kingdom, we will take our place on the world stage and we'll have a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to market the province to an international audience. None of this would have been remotely possible just a few years ago. None of this would have happened without the political progress that has been made. And none of this progress would have occurred if Republican paramilitary dissidents or Unionist political dissidents had got their way. So as you can see, the DUP is putting Northern Ireland on the international map. It's encouraging that just as we have had the confidence to take Northern Ireland forward, others have shown confidence in us by bringing the most significant major events here. I believe we have, in this generation, made a really positive difference. And when we gather again in 12 months' time, we'll be facing into a fresh electoral challenge and we are ready to meet it. Let us not squander the opportunity that is before us to reshape politics in this province for future generations. Let us rise to the challenge, as did our forefathers, and let us leave the legacy of Northern Ireland as a shared society at the heart of a permanently united kingdom. Someday, long after this generation of unionists has passed, let it be said that when our time came, we too gave of our best. Let giving of our best be the goal that motivates us in all that we do in the months that lie ahead. It was H.G. Wells who said, "The past is but the beginning of a beginning, and all that is and has been is but the twilight of the dawn." We have the opportunity to make tomorrow a better day. And in so doing, it must be a better day for everyone. That's the task that faces us. Let us never lose sight that the people democratically conferred upon this party the honour and the responsibility to provide leadership to move Northern Ireland forward. Our task is to harness and direct the potential, the promise, the greatness of our people, and to lead Northern Ireland into a future based on our vision of a peaceful, stable, united and shared community. May God grant us strength and wisdom and give us favour with the people to empower us to bring about that better day. Thank you very much.
Never hold it in the first.